Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. What do we got right now? NBA Finals, 103-96, 6:48 to go. Thunder were up 15 at half. And I said pretty much the same thing that I said in game one when the Thunder were up 12 at half. I said, this feels like a game that the Thunder are going to win. But with the Pacers, you never can really feel like that. Although then tonight I even doubled down and went the other way. I said, I don't know though. Halliburton's got no points. He's hurt. I'm feeling pretty good. And they have closed the deficit all the way to two at one point, and right now it's 107.97.
Are you serious?
So the Thunder here with a 10-point lead. Very interesting stuff. Just to show you how unlikable the Pacers are, at least in my family, my wife watches like zero sports. Never. You think, oh, you want a wife that loves sports? I absolutely do not. But she is locked into this series because she'll watch it with my kid. We watch sports at night instead of bedtime, instead of reading books, which we were doing very well, and then that ended. And it's sports, and so he'll go to bed at about halftime, and then she has usually turns off the TV and says, screw this. But she is so engaged. And if for no other reason, then she does not like the Pacers either. And so birds of a feather flock together. And I've never been more proud to call her my wife.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. Of everything. Her hatred for the more she hates the Pacers, it's the more she loves me. And I think that's very romantic. I think there's something to that. Either way, whoever wins this game, if recent trends are any indication, we may be going to a game seven. That's what a lot of the Scott Foster discussion was about the other night. So we watched that game on Friday, 111-104. It was like 30 minutes longer than a normal game. It was a long game because there were a lot of timeouts, because there were a lot of fouls. So there are a lot of TV timeouts and a lot of fouls. And how many foul calls were called in this one? Thunder went to the line. This is Friday night's game, game four. Thunder went to the line 38 times, Pacers 33. The Pacers had 27 fouls. The Thunder had 26. So if you look at that right away, you're not so much looking at, oh, well, it seemed to be a pretty evenly called game. But one of the good thoughts that I had on it, or that I saw on it, not my thought, I saw it, is that what they were doing wasn't calling more fouls against a team, but they were calling more fouls to give the Thunder more time to rest. Because the Pacers, at the end of these games, with their frenetic pace and the way they attack, they wear you down. We saw the Thunder get tired in this series. We have seen the Cavs get worn down. We saw the Knicks get worn down. And it coincided with the ref in that game, Scott Foster, who has a nickname called the Extender. Remember on Friday night, I played a clip of Gilbert Arenas. He was watching the game on a stream, and he had a Tyrese Halliburton jersey on. And then as soon as he realized Scott Foster was reffing, he ripped that off and said, oh, they're not winning today. And then he threw the SGA jersey on. Tim Donaghy was on BetUS TV. And some people don't believe a word this guy says. I don't know. I mean, he was involved in the scandal. He bet on these games. He changed games, he's going to still be out here running around just lying? Anyway, here's what he had to say about what happens in series that look like they're going to go one way when the NBA wants to extend them.
You know, I think that, when I was there, that the league would come in, and if a team was up 2-0 or 3-0 in a series, they put the referees in a locker room and they'd show us 15 or 20 plays that they wanted us to concentrate on that night in the game. And those plays always went for the team that was down in the series and against the team that was up. So that's how they would manipulate the series, so the games would go from 3-0 to 3-1, 3-2. So it'd be a 6-7 game series. I write about this, and in Houston, Jeff Van Gundy came out and said that, he was told by a league official that, you know, the referee's going to go out and crack down on certain calls, in the game that night on Yao Ming, and they went out and did. And, I think that they were up 2-0 in the series. Next thing you know, it was 2-2 and, it was a 7-game series. So, it's something that the league comes down and programs and trains the referees in these morning meetings of certain things that they really want you to concentrate on in a given night. And it goes for the team that's down in the series and against the team that's up.
So that's just one man's opinion. Again, that man is a former NBA official who was found betting on basketball games that he was working. So take that with whatever grains or cases of salt that you want, but that was a lot of the discussion around Scott Foster the other night. He's got a nickname of the extender. You don't ref for 30 years and just have that nickname randomly. And then Rick Carlisle the other day goes out of his way to like defend Scott Foster and say, no, he's a great official. He's done a great job in these games. And then tonight, he got a technical foul like 5 minutes into the game. So all of that support for one of the more embattled officials in the league, all for nothing as he got that early technical foul. Things have changed here in this game, but it's still, you know, in Pacer territory. Nothing's ever done. But the Thunder did go on a little bit of a run. There were four straight possessions where they forced turnovers. It's 116 to 101 here with 3:59 to go. Are we out of danger zone, do you think, or are we still
never
on high alert? I mean, Lou Dort's raining threes. Yeah, I don't think we're out of danger zone. I don't. Not with the Pacers. Not with the Pacers. 116-104, 118-104. All right. Got my eyes locked in on this.
Me too.
Again, this first segment of the second hour is always when the game is at its most. I wouldn't have minded a weekend game. Like, if this could have happened yesterday and then we could just like talk about it, and then, you know, that would be nice. But we got to have all these games happening live as we're talking. Now, as I said, Thursday would be game 6, and I will not be here. Got a family thing going on. So if the Pacers do come back and then win on Thursday, you'll be saved. And also this game 7 would be Sunday. So if the Pacers do come back, this would be the last Bart live meltdown that you might get. I certainly think that you will get further meltdowns, but in a more restrained way. Or at least what I might do is maybe record them and then give you my thoughts just so that I can then edit and keep things in check. Because as I told Carlos at the end of last hour, if the Pacers do win tonight, I will swear and I will say things that I regret, and I will act as unprofessional as you may have ever heard on the radio. If they come back now and win now, even now it's going to be worse. What's the score here? 118 to 104, 3.5 to go. If they come back and win now, the implosion that I have will be taught in schools of how to lose your whole career in one night. So I am eagerly trying to will. I might revert to prayer. I don't pray that often, but I might have to. I don't know who's listening, but I might have to revert to some sort of prayer. All right, so the Desmond Bane trade. Huge trade. Huge weekend of trades. We could talk more Rafael Devers. We can talk Desmond Bane. Devers, more shocking in every way. The Bane trade was like, whoa, what's going on here? Good for the Magic for getting into a level of contention here. They realize that we need another shooter on this team, and Desmond Bane is going to fit really well on that roster that they have. They traded 5 first-round picks to get him, which is the price of doing business these days. 5 for Rudy Gobert, Mikal Bridges. So again, anybody who's mocking these Giannis trades, you got to at least that's just like the starting point of the starting point. I need every first-round pick until I need you to get a special exemption from the NBA to say we can trade picks 20, 30 years out. And we can start trading back-to-back first-round picks again, which right now you can't. Because I need every rule. I need your whole team. I need it all. Okay, with how these other trades are going. But one of the big reasons that Orlando may have had to do this is, and one of the reasons I think they did do it is because they think they have a window, and good for them. Good for a team looking at their landscape and making a move and going for it, because the East is going to be open. It's going to be there for the taking. If somebody wants it bad enough, they can go get it. I have no idea what the top 4 is going to look like in the East next year. It will probably involve the Pacers, the Knicks, and the Cavs, but that none of those, I don't feel like any of those teams feel like you can't get past them. Now, Indiana is their own special breed of insanity. But the Knicks, with this coaching search, you know, and they're still going to be looked at as having flaws. I think the Cavs, I think we're probably being too hard on the Cavs, but the way that they bowed out left a really bad taste in a lot of people's mouths that were very pro the Cleveland Cavaliers and what they were putting together and what they were doing. So there's a lot of thinking that way. So if you're in a position where you can strike, if you're in the East, I say go for it. I think the Sixers have an opportunity to get a little creative. I think the Pistons can still have an opportunity to get a little creative, because the next year, you know, the Bucks will be at full strength again, and another year down. I think the Celtics are going to be a different version of the team that they have been, but Tatum will come back. And this year, I do think, really presents an opportunity for a team that maybe didn't think that they would be in this spot. Even this year, not this next year, this year, to get Indiana in there, taking advantage of some of the other teams being hurt a little bit, taking advantage, but also beating. I mean, I don't like it, but I'm not going to discredit them in any way. They have done a lot of good things to get to where they are. But next year, you look at them, you think, okay, we can build a team together just like that. Another reason why you might need to go to trades is the free agent market. Not great. You got a lot of guys that have player options. LeBron James, probably going to opt in. It's a $50 million option. The last report was that he'd probably opt in, but what he's been doing a lot is opting out and then signing another 1 year plus one deal. It could be that sort of thing, but he's not going to be a free agent. Kyrie Irving is not going to be a free agent. He's got a player option. Either they sign him to something, or he's got a $40 million option and he's coming back from the ACL. James Harden's $35 million option. Hard to see him leaving. Julius Randle may opt in. It looked like he wasn't, but then his playoff run was not great, so it may have cost him some money that he'll need to opt in and then get a bigger deal later if he can. Naz Reid will probably, he's got a $13 million option. He's going to get a big deal somewhere. I think I've seen enough Photoshops of him in the Lakers jersey that I've already just assumed that he's going to be there. Fred VanVleet, team option there. Mo Wagner, we talked about him with the Magic. They're going to be working on those. And then RFAs, restricted free agents. Josh Giddey, Jonathan Kuminga, Davion Mitchell, Quentin Grimes, Santi Aldama. But other than Kuminga, it seems like every team wants to keep those guys in some way. So then your unrestricted free agents, you're looking at Miles Turner, who might be the best. You're looking at Brooke Lopez. You're looking at Russell Westbrook, who might be getting a big offer to play overseas, probably stays here. You're looking at Chris Paul. Who needs a 40-year-old Chris Paul at this point? Malik Beasley. He had a team record 319 threes on 42% shooting for Detroit. That's pretty good. But they might want to try to keep him. And Nikhil Alexander Walker, who might be too expensive for the Timberwolves, but like that's your free agent class. So if you want to get better and you have the tools to do it, i.e. draft picks, then you go ahead and try to make that move. And that's a big reason why the Magic, the East being open and then the free agent class being bad, that's why you go out and get Desmond Bane. Again, for the Grizzlies, it seems like it's going to be more of a like reload than a reboot. And they wanted to get off that contract. The Magic happily going to take it. I think it's 4 years, 164, but the Grizzlies not as interested in retaining it. So that's the trade we saw over the weekend. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I am going to take a quick timeout, watch the end of the NBA Finals game. When we come back, we'll either have a nice discussion about Game 5, or it will be the end of my radio career. Stick around. The Bart Winkler Show returns next.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show that the Thunder Radio Network. And it looks like, for now, I'm not going to do anything too stupid. Although, in trying to find what to watch on TV after Thunder's Pacers, Thunder getting the Game 5 win, I see that Infinity War is on TNT. So now I'm kind of like watching that. They're on Titan right now, Carlos. They're trying to fight Thanos.
Good fight.
Yeah. Now there's Doctor Strange. Come on, Star-Lord. Spidey. Spidey went to space.
He sure did.
Yeah. 888-710 4476, 888-710-4ISN. The Thunder getting the win over the Pacers tonight, 120-109. It started to feel like the Pacers were going to have a comeback. They had four straight possessions where they had turnovers, and Oklahoma City was cashing it in at every end. So they did a real good job doing a much better job of something that they struggled with in that first game. Remember when they had 11 points off 21 turnovers? Tonight, it was a little better there with 23 turnovers that they forced, and they gave up 32 points, the Pacers did. So much better work from the Thunder. That's what cost them in game one, and that's what allowed them to get it back done here in game number five. So the series is going to go back to Indiana in game six. Caitlin Clark will not be there, although she was at the last game that they lost. But it is going to Indiana on Thursday night, and we could either have a champion there, or it's going to go back to Oklahoma City on Sunday, and we'll for sure get a champion by then. Pascal Siakam leading the way with 28 points for Indiana, and then 18 from TJ McConnell off the bench. Tyrese Halliburton, 4 points in this game, all on free throws. He is just a very confusing man. I mean, he is the most clutch player that we've seen in a long time. But he also just had he had 4 points. He only took 6 shots.
He is the whitest man I know.
Who, me?
TJ McConnell.
Oh, I was talking about Halliburton.
Oh, well, you know, kind of fits the bill sometimes with the way he speaks.
Well, half. All right, so 14 points, 17 points, 22 points, 18 points, and then 4 points. Now, he was hurt for a little bit, but he did play 34 minutes. Ties the series low, but he's played 34, he's played 36, he's played 36. Here's the issue. He took 13 shots in Game 1, 13 shots in Game 2, 17 shots in Game 3, 15 shots in Game 4, just 6 shots tonight. So I do think that Tyrese Halliburton is going to be a story, this stat line. He was hurt, but did come back in, and if you're going to be in, you got to play. 4 points, 0-6 shooting. For the Thunder, Jalen Williams, a playoff high. He took 25 shots. He scored 40 points. Great night for him. Really, one of the things that they've been doing in the series is allowing SGA, and this has been one of Daigneault's adjustments, allowing SGA to sort of rest. Not really. He's still on the court. He played 38 minutes. But they've let Jalen Williams be the one to facilitate or be the one to at least start the possession with the ball. That means they're not up in SGA's face right away, so he's not wearing all that contact. And then also, you know, off the ball, it's a little more of a time to catch your breath than being the ball-dominant guard. So they've made that adjustment, and Jalen Williams has been the beneficiary of that too with 40 points. SGA had 31 points, and their next leading scorer was Aaron Wiggins, 4 threes, and he had 14 points. First time that the Thunder have won where Alex Caruso didn't need to score 20 points. He had two points in this game. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Austin's in Milwaukee. What's up, brother?
Bart Winkler. Hey, wanted to talk some paces with you, man. I'm on the unfortunate end of betting on them to win this series and even driving down to Illinois to double down on that bet.
Wow.
And I am not one to blame the ref. I'm not gonna do that. I think that this team has the fire has been doused by the Oklahoma City Thunder. What the Pacers have been doing has been historic. And, I mean, at what point can they continue beating the odds? And they're missing shots. They're wearing themselves out. And I just don't think – when they got it down, was it 4 points? I really thought that they could get back, but you just saw that slip away from them. And I think OKC is a better team.
So you bet on them because you thought it was inevitable?
I bet on them because all they did was, you know, I'm a huge fan of the show, and all they did was continue to prove all of us wrong, and they kept doing it in ways that aren't, I can't even put it into words, but they just kept winning these series in odd-defying ways. And I'm like, why can't they beat a plus 500 odds to win this? And then they won game one.
Yeah.
And then they lost game two, and they were like plus 450. And I was like, okay, I'm going to double down on this. And I think their time has caught up to them.
Was this a pretty sizable investment or just some beer money, Austin?
A little bit more than beer money there, Bart.
Austin.
Yeah. But nah, it's okay. But
that's all right. Have you ever heard of a slot game called Wilderness Wolves?
No, not yet. I've heard of Solitaire though.
The Solitaire, yeah. Wilderness Wolves is a game that took some money from me this weekend on line slots.
Oh, I thought you were off that.
Nah, I was back on. It was a bad weekend.
Hey, that's okay. Hey, anyway, I mean, there's still a chance for them to, you know, get game six. I would really enjoy if this went to a game seven. Obviously, I have my financial investments involved in it. But, you know, if OKC does win, I think that'd be good for the league, get SGA, you know. I think either way, it'll be good. It was good to see Tyrese Halliburton, you know, come up with all of what, four points.
4 points, six shots, missed them all.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's also good for the league. So, you know, either way that it comes out, I'll be happy.
Good luck on your bets, Austin. Nice to talk to you.
Thanks, Bart. Have a good one, man.
Austin in Milwaukee. Did you think it was weird? You know, this is one of the greater, like, comeback teams of all time with the improbable. And as we were watching this come down to the final moments, I was still like, oh, no, the Pacers. And then I saw Johnny Furphy in there. What are they doing? Why are you ever surrendering if you're this team? It's game five. They did this earlier in the series, too. Why are they ever surrendering? Up, or they were down. They were down 10 with what, 2 minutes? Isn't there? I mean, if there's any team that's going to do it, isn't it the Pacers? What the hell are they doing?
Yeah,
that made no sense.
I don't know if it was 2 minutes when they took out the starters. Might have been a little bit less, but like mathematically, you could feel like, all right, this one's done. So probably just.
But it's been like that every time they've won.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you got another two plus hours. You can go ahead and crush Carlisle if you want.
Johnny Furphy comes in the game down 13 with 1:50 to go for Tyrese Halliburton. Ben Shepherd enters for Aaron Nesmith. Thomas Bryant enters for Pascal Siakam. I don't know.
The immovable force.
I mean, Furphy did score, so. He did have the only 2 points the Pacers scored the rest of the game was a Johnny Furphy two with a Thomas Bryant assist. So maybe I shouldn't be the judge here. 888-710 for ISN. Oh, I forgot. I have a question for Marco Belletti, who's joining us. Marco.
Hello, Bart.
Trampoline gate, how did that go?
Oh, Bart. It's been a hell of a weekend. I'll give you the quick answer. We got a response of, hey, that's unfortunate, but no, there's nothing we can do. So my wife has now emailed again looking to see if she can get at least a discount on just buying one box as opposed to three boxes. And her response to me in a text tonight was, and if they don't give us some sort of something on this, you know, discount or whatever, I won't buy from them just out of principle. I said, okay.
Marco bought his daughter a trampoline for her birthday. And the boxes sat in their garage?
Yes, for many, many months, possibly a year. So this wasn't actually for her birthday. This is something that we had been wanting to do and just, you know, never followed through.
Mm. And then she didn't get it. Did she get anything else?
She did get some gifts. Saturday was her recital, along with my oldest son's birthday as well. Mm. So we had some people at the house afterwards, some food, some family. Some fun, and they got gifts then. I also took them to Target yesterday for Sunday to use the gift cards that they had got, plus a couple of bucks that they had gotten from some family members, which I actually put into their accounts, and I forked up the bill for that so that they can buy some stuff that they wanted from Target yesterday. So they did okay.
Very, very nice of you. That sounds like you're a good father.
Let's hold that, because I'll give you a real quick, because I hear the music. Can I just tell you the day? Because I will say, I'm thrilled that Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers threw up the egg that they did, because I feel a little bit better. Can I give you the short synopsis of this day?
Marco, I needed this today, too. I had such a tough dad day.
Here's how it started. From that party, we have a small house. So my wife doesn't like clutter and, you know, to try to clean things up. So what she did, and I did see it, but it didn't really stick. She put one of the pizza boxes that was empty into the oven to get it out of the way. During the party on Saturday.
Oh, no.
So today started with her telling me, I just need a little bit of time before I start work. She works from home. I said, that's right. Go ahead. Go. I took my oldest to school. I got the other two. We're hanging. I actually preheated the oven because I'm going to make dinner in the morning because I don't have time later in the day. Sitting in the living room, all of a sudden, I'm like, what the hell is that smell? I go into the kitchen. Fire is what that smell is.
Oh, no.
Fire! So I'm able to put the box out. I'm in a blaze, Bart. Really, a blaze. I was actually concerned it was actually going to catch the curtains. So hold on with that good father stuff, because I was not a good father in that regard. Plus, I also had no idea where the hell the fire extinguisher was. Bad job by me. But I was able to get the fire out. My house still smells like smoke as I left for work tonight. Throw in, told my son I'd take him somewhere 6 times on the way there and on the way back. Buddy, don't argue with your mother on whatever it is to eat dinner because I didn't cook. I said, just go with it. She's had a rough day. Between the trampoline and the box that I know she felt terrible because I didn't say it was your fault, but we all know it was your fault that we had the fire in the morning. Just go easy on her. She's had a rough day, okay? As I'm leaving, I hear him arguing with her. I lose my mind because I'm not in a good mood anyway. So I'm yelling at him to the point where I saw he was shaking, which made me feel like a terrible father because I'm laying into him and I'm probably bringing all my other stuff with it, even though he should have done what I told him to do. Then, as I leave for work, I'm driving. I get maybe a mile, not even. I'm closing in on the highway. Light comes on. Check the tire pressure. I'm like, ah, that's not good. So I pull over to the one last gas station before the highway. Big giant nail, rear tire.
Wow.
Big, huge, that I could see it. Went back home, called my wife. I said, I'm going to have to take your car to work. I don't want to drive this thing to New York City and get stuck with a flat in the Holland Tunnel. Her response, do you really think that's necessary? To use your car, or use her car, to drive
to work. Did you go back and get it?
Of course I did. Oh, what? Is it necessary? Where are you going? You're sleeping.
This
You're
is a very...
Where are you going?
It's overall, this is a pretty rough day.
So Tyrese Haliburton and the Pacers, my thank you. Because if TJ McConnell had come off the bench and scored 30 points and led them to a win tonight, I don't know if I would have been able to figure out the whole night. I don't think I would have survived, Bart. I might have walked away.
Oh, I told Carlos that this is probably, if the Pacers won that game, this is going to be the last night of my career. Because the things I would have ended up saying on this show.
Welcome on in to the Carlos with a K show here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Let me just... Real quick, if this compares, it was more of a one thing. You had a full day of things, but my son had his first day of summer daycare camp today, and he told me that him and a couple other buddies, they made a list of who was good and who was bad, and I was very disappointed that my son would do that because there's a bunch of names of his friends that are on this bad list, and if you see that, you know, that's very heartbreaking. Then I was giving him a bath, and he told me, Daddy, I put your name on the bad list. So I went to his backpack, I opened it up, and there it was. It was like Ethan and, I don't know, Roger, I don't know what these kids' names are. And then in big letters, B-A-R-T.
Ooh, not even Daddy, he wrote Bart.
Ooh. Bart. Ooh. And then I go, why am I on the bad list? He goes, because you eat my food.
Bort.
And I told him, buddy, do you remember? Because I used to, you know, when you give your the dad tax, you eat a chip and then you give him the rest of the bag.
Bort.
And when he was 3, he cried about that. And I promised him I would never do that again. And I never have. But that was enough to still be on the bad list.
Come along, Bort.
So this is like years in the making?
Yeah.
Ooh, he holds a grudge.
Are you talking to me?
No, my son is also named Bort.
Good for him. He's got the Omerta. Good for him.
My wife told me, don't fixate on this. And I said, it's hard not to ever not think about this. My son put me on the bad list. What have I done to him?
Yeah, the bad list I would live with. It's the fact that he still remembers from 2 years ago you eating his food. He might carry that for life.
Yeah, I like that.
Good for him. That's going to be like his first lasting memory.
All right, just an impromptu dad corner. But I'm glad that we both kind of had the same. We needed the thunder tonight. Just needed the thunder.
You needed to hear that you're a bad dad. I nearly burned down the house and almost, you know, had a flat tire on the way to work.
Okay. Pacers fans, we are sorry, but those are, you know your team. 888-710-4ISN. Let's get an update. It is Marco Belletti. Thunder Radio Network. Big night for Jalen Williams. 40 points. He's 24 years old, 63 days. The only players younger to score at least 40 in an NBA Finals game, Magic Johnson had 42 in 1980. Rick Barry did it 3 times as a 23-year-old in 67. Russell Westbrook put up 43 when he was 23 back in 2012. And Jerry West, a few months shy of his 24th birthday, put up 40 against Boston in 1960. So Jalen Williams just strolling onto a list with Rick Barry, Russell Westbrook, Magic Johnson and Jerry West. Thunder with the 120-109 victory. Mark's in California. Mark.
Oh, what's going on, Bart? Today's a good day.
And then it's moments.
You know how mad Knicks fans would be if Brunson scored zero field goals in a finals game to go up 3-2? You know how?
I just saw somebody online refer to Tyrese Halliburton as the NBA's version of Joe Flacco.
Dude, remember when the Knicks took Kevin Knox 2 picks ahead of SGA?
Yeah, then they took a guy right ahead of Jalen Williams, too, didn't they?
Oh, my God. They traded the pick back. Yeah, man, Knicks are crazy. But, yeah, man, listen. I mean, it couldn't happen. Tyrese Halliburton, if he's listening, which he's not, I hope he is, but it couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. Dude, TJ McConnell's face when he said, "Just guard me, bro. You can't guard me." And then he had 3 straight turnovers. Come on, bro. And everyone on the Pacers, like, bandwagon, by the way, is like, well, if you would have put TJ McConnell in the fourth quarter, the game would have changed. No, it wouldn't have.
I mean, I don't know. TJ was looking pretty unstoppable.
Well, listen, I mean, right after they put him in, he had 3 straight drives to the basket. This was one of the most dominant performances defensively that I've ever seen at an NBA level. I mean, this was a, when they needed it the most, 12 blocks. When was the last time you seen that in NBA Finals? 12 blocks. That's crazy. 23 assists. 32 points off turnovers, just like game one. And it could have been a different series if they would have won game four, because it would have been 3-1. And then you would have had to complete this comeback. But, you know, if Tyrese is injured, man, good luck, dude. I mean, good luck. It's probably going to be OKC in 6. But if he plays, man, could you imagine if he's faking this injury? Like, he's just like, oh, man.
Hey, I'm anti-Pacer as much as the next guy, but that is just slander, Mark.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know he couldn't shoot at
all. Although you could say, driving, I'm just asking questions. You could do that routine.
Yeah, he just couldn't shoot. But listen, I mean, good game. You know, all these guys that everyone's talking about, I mean, outside of Aaron Nesmith just going magnet ball on the Knicks, hasn't done absolutely nothing since that game. Like, just nothing. Liability on defense, just nothing. Nembhard, you know, not that great. The only dude who consistently scores for them is Siakam and probably Obi Toppin, right?
Well, McConnell.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's coming off the bench, but, like, same thing with Toppin. But Toppin looks crazy good, man. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I don't want to root against the guy because being a Knicks fan, but, like, dude had a left-handed layup off the glass, man. That was just, it was money, man. You know what I mean? And I really did that shot.
Yeah, it really did look like, Mark, and I got to let you go. Thanks for the call. But it really did look like the Pacers were going to come back again. It was 95-93. And then even when there was 1:50 left to go, they were down 13. But couldn't you imagine, for the first time in history, teams that were up 13 with 1:50 are 406-0. That's what the Pacers have been doing. So it's not. Well, why they do that? There was a chance. Of course, there was not a chance. But with the Pacers, there's always a chance. So why'd they do that? I have a stat here. I'm pretty sure it's correct. Here's how I'll frame it, though. Tyrese Halliburton had 0 made field goals, 0 steals, 0 blocks. He had... how many turnovers? 3+ turnovers, 3 turnovers, and 3+ fouls in an NBA Finals game in 30+ minutes. Somebody online is claiming that is the single worst NBA Finals performance of all time, as that stat line has never been done before. When the Pacers go on these legendary runs, and then Halliburton puts in a game like this, I think, is a win for people who say the Pacers, what is happening? How is this happening? This team, we know they're not this good. This Halliburton stat line, unless they come back and win this series, for the four different shots that he made, this is what's going to be the discussion in the offseason. This is a truly awful finals performance. There's no way around it. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.